This morning's reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 3, and it's verses 14 to 21. It's Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. A prayer for the Ephesians. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, for ever and ever. Amen.
Why don't you say to the person next to you, or behind you, or in front of you, God is good. God is good all the time. Amen. Before I go into what I'm going to speak about today regarding the Holy Spirit and Pentecost, I'd like us to watch a very short DVD clip. Hopefully there will be some sound.
We are still go with Apollo 11. 30 seconds and counting. Astronauts report it feels good. T-minus 25 seconds. 20 seconds and counting. T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10, 9. Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11. Tower cleared.
Here, we got a roll program.
Neil Armstrong reporting the roll and pitch program, which puts Apollo 11 on a proper hit.
Wow, the first word that came from Buzz Aldrin was the eagle has landed. President Nixon, watching the events on television, described it as this, as one of the greatest moments of our time. The Pope greeted the news by exclaiming, "Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to men of good will." At 3:56 a.m. on the 20th of July, 1969. Anybody remember it? A few of you. I was about 3 months old then, by the way. Neil Armstrong stepped off the ladder from the Eagle and onto the moon's surface. That's one small step for a man and one giant leap for mankind, as he became the first man to walk on the moon. And the whole world watched with awe and amazement. You know, 4 years ago, we were over in the States, and we went to the Kennedy Space Center, and we were able to see kind of a simulation of what actually happened there. And they had this control room, and we were observing as though it was actually happening there and then. And it was just really powerful to watch that. But you know, friends, we talk about that power. We can only imagine, can't we, that power, the power that took to send the Saturn V up into space. An amazing power. But you know, today we're talking about power, aren't we? We're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit, as we celebrate the Holy Spirit's power as church today. And Ephesians 3 that we've just read, we see the impact of the Holy Spirit, what he can have in our lives as 21st century disciples. as disciples at Forward Free Methodist Church, as disciples at King's Church in Penwitham. It affects all of our lives right now. It's not just something that happened 2,000 years ago and is not relevant to us right now. And I want to share this morning a title of something called Immeasurably More. Can we say that? Immeasurably More. Fantastic. How many here today believe that the Holy Spirit can give you immeasurably more? Wonderful. Brilliant. I want to talk about three things this morning. I want to talk about the area of power, the area of passion, and the area of personal experience. The first one is this: power. Say with me, power. Fantastic. In Ephesians 3, 14 to 21, we see this letter to the Ephesians, and we see this prayer to the Ephesians. And his prayer is based on this. It's based on the knowledge of God's purpose for his life. And he wants these Ephesians to have the same revelation, a similar revelation as he has and had. And he longs that they will be gripped with God's ultimate intention, which is this revelation and the fullness of Jesus Christ. As he writes this, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father." You know, there's something powerful in this, that I kneel. You know, we don't tend to kind of kneel anymore, do we, when we pray? In fact, sometimes when I kneel, it's harder to get up now than when it used to be many years ago when I kneeled down. But there's power in it because there's a sense of awe, worship, and adoration as we kneel before the Father. But then he goes on to say, we're going to look at three verses related to power. In fact, they're just going to be on the PowerPoint. Wouldn't it be good this morning if we could actually read these out, these scriptures together? The first one, Ephesians 3:16. Let's say it out together, if you can see it. "I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being." Ephesians 3:18. "That you may have power together with all the saints." Ephesians 3:20. "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power." Fantastic. Power, power, power. You know, in the Greek, the word power is translated dunamis. Say it with me, dunamis. Dunamis. And that actually speaks of miraculous power. Power, miraculous power. But this is where we get the word dynamite. Dynamite. You know, if you set some dynamite alight, what happens? It explodes, doesn't it? It explodes. How many of you would want a life in the Holy Spirit that is explosive? That's explosive. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Amen? If we had that in our lives. You know, where we were to live, not only in the natural, but in the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. Because, friends, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the same power lives in you and me. But we just got to believe it, haven't we? We can say it, we can read it, but actually living that out is a different thing. But you know, I'm here to say this morning that the Holy Spirit back in the Old Testament time, it was on specific people, prophets, priests, and kings, not on the ordinary person. But through Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is now on and available to everybody who knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Isn't that great news today? Fantastic. Wouldn't you like more of this Holy Spirit power? As we're thinking about Pentecost Sunday today, you want more of the Holy Spirit in your life. What about in your marriage? More of the Holy Spirit. What about for your children? Those of you who have children, what more of the Holy Spirit? What about in your job? Or maybe if you're at college, or in your community, or in the life of Forward Free Methodist Church, or when you're sharing your faith with other people. Holy Spirit, I want more of you. I want more of your power in these areas and other areas of my life. But you see, sometimes the challenge with this power that is available to all of us, this dunamis power, is this, is that there can be blockages in our lives. Blockages. You know, I'm not very good at DIY, and I don't know anything about plumbing. But what I do know is that sometimes the kitchen sink, there's a blockage. The water won't go down very well. It means there's a blockage. So then I have to unblock what's actually in the bottle trap. And what happens is when I unblock that, is that suddenly the water, whoosh, it just goes through again with power. Or what about this one? Who in your home does the vacuuming? Who does the vacuuming? It's good to see some blokes putting their hands up. Fantastic. Yes, I'm one of those blokes that does the vacuum in our home too. But you know, sometimes you can be hoovering away. Yeah, this is how you do it. And then suddenly, it's lost power. It's lost power. Andrew has no idea what I'm talking about here because he obviously doesn't do the vacuuming at his home. And anyway, so... Thanks, you owe me a tenner, love. So where was... Oh yeah, so I'm hoovering away. And it's great. And then suddenly, it's just nothing's happening. Nothing's being lifted up. And then suddenly, so then I have to go into the machine. And normally there's a tissue, or there's hair, or there's a bobble of some sort in our household that's blocking it. But as soon as you remove that, again, whoosh, the power is there again. Relating that to our lives, blockages. I wonder whether there's a blockage in your life to see the power of the Holy Spirit really falling freely and powerfully on us. Maybe it's a sin in our lives. Maybe it's a sin, a habitual sin, and maybe the Holy Spirit has been nagging us about it. But we've just lived with it. We just treat it as though it's something part of a separate life to our Christian life. But actually, no, the Holy Spirit wants all of your life, not just part of it. Maybe it's not a blockage of sin, but maybe it's something of unforgiveness. Andrew prayed that before. Is there something in your heart, unforgiveness for somebody? You know, the Bible says, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Or maybe this one. This is a really big one, isn't it, for us Christians, particularly in church context, is the fear of other people, isn't it? We're so fearful of what other people think of us, whether it's the person next to you, whether it's somebody in your family. And you kind of like, you really do want to be filled with the Spirit. You really do want to have freedom in the Holy Spirit. But it's this whole fear of people. You know, let me tell you that when I was younger, I was so afraid of other people. I was so timid and nervous around other people. And in fact, when I was at school, you know, I used to hate all this whole public speaking stuff. And when I was at school, at high school, I had to do some sort of talk in front of my class. And it was absolutely awful. Really, really nervous about it. Couldn't sleep, had butterflies. And it was the talk was so bad that the teacher made me do it again. That's how bad I was around people. But I can only say, friends, right now, truly, that it's the Holy Spirit that's helped me overcome the fear of people. But it's something I have to keep pressing into. I have to keep the Holy Spirit filling me with the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're just going to go to another verse that we all know, 2 Timothy 1:7. Let's read this together. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind right now. And I want to speak those words over people right now, where there are blockages in your life, whether it's sin, whether it's unforgiveness, or it's particularly the fear of people. God, I pray right now for those who are fearful of other people, for those who really want to press in to your power and to the Holy Spirit, but they are fearful of what other people think. Lord, you said in your word, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is liberty. God, you've done it in my life, and I pray for other people in this church right now, in Jesus' name. Power. The second one is this. The Holy Spirit can give us passion. Say passion. Passion means this, an intense enthusiasm for something. You know, we watched the story of Steve Jobs. Anyone heard of him? Steve Jobs, CEO of Apple. And quite an incredible story, but quite a sad story too. But you know, he was so passionate about seeing the ordinary person having a personal computer in their home. And it went from in the 1970s of having a personal PC, which is about this big, you know, to something that I've got called an iPad in 30 years, that most people now have something like that in their homes. Even senior people, we have people in their 80s who have iPads. In fact, they have better iPad model than I've got. And so that was because of his passion, wasn't it? It was passion to see that happening. You know, passion. I've got a passion for football. Anyone support PNE? Just a few of you. I don't. I support the best team in the world, Tottenham Hotspur. Amen. Hey, fantastic. Two of us in the world. Passion for football. I have a passion for food, and I have a passion for music. But friends, let me tell you this. Most of all, I have a passion for Jesus. Amen. A passion for Jesus. I've not always been like that. I've not always had a passion for Jesus. But when the Holy Spirit grabs hold of your life, you just want that passion for Jesus because he's so amazing. And we're going to read about this amazing Savior that we serve as we read in Ephesians 3, verse 17 to 19. Again, let's read this together. You're doing well. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Do you know, I love those verses. They're so amazing, aren't they? To grasp how wide, how long, how high and how deep is Christ's love for me and for you is amazing. The Message puts it like this. Reach out and experience the breadth. Test its length. Plumb the depths. Rise to the heights and live full lives in the fullness of God. Can we do that? Live full lives in the fullness of God. You know, we have a daughter. She's 17 years old. She was 17 on Thursday. And she's gone to the big church day out. Any of our young people here gone to the big church day out? Do you know anyone that's going to that? And you know, it's funny because she hates camping. We just don't do camping as a family. But she went last year and it was that good that she's gone back this year. But you know, when she was younger, we used to do this thing. When I used to put her to bed, read her a bedtime story and say prayers, I used to say this to her, Chloe, Daddy loves you this much. And then Chloe would go, but I love you this much. And then there'd be this competition, but I love you this much. And Chloe would say, this much. But no matter how much she loved me in that way, I would always love her more. I would always love her more. And isn't that like that with God? We can love God. We can talk about how much we love Jesus. But in these verses, it tells us that his love, we actually can't fathom it really. We actually can't comprehend it, can we? And yet he still says this, but I want you to grasp it. I want you to know it. And I want you to experience his amazing love. You see, Paul's prayer for the Ephesians is also for you, and it's also for me. To ask the Holy Spirit to fill every aspect of your life to the fullest. To be, as we've been talking about this morning, to be filled with the Spirit. When I shared a bit about my testimony of being filled with the Spirit, it's not a one-off thing. Ephesians 3:18 talks about it's almost to be continually filled. It's an ongoing thing to be filled with his Spirit. And you know, when we have that, when we have the fullness of Christ, then we have a real passion for Jesus, for God's beloved Son. And you know, the thing that happens is that others see it in you. When you have a real passion for Jesus, it's contagious. It's contagious. That's why I believe why one of the reasons the early church grew so quickly. Because I believe that people saw something in these people, these group of ordinary people, and they said, wow, we want some of that. We want some of what you've got. Let's read it in Acts 2. Shall we read it together? Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles, praising God and enjoying the favor of the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is another preach, isn't it? But you know, those, they enjoyed the favor of the people. In other words, those who did not know Christ. Because they could see the passion that these people had for Jesus. You know, we have a guy at our church. Some of you will know him. His name is Eric, and he's 93. Oldest person in our church. And his middle name, I think, is Methuselah. Eric Methuselah Smithies. See, Methuselah in the Bible, he lived to about 900 and something. But you know, this guy, he's 93. But when you sit with him, I visited him the other week, sat with him. His passion for Jesus is still strong as it was when he first became a Christian. I prayed with him. He prayed for me. And the prayer was amazing. Absolutely amazing. Think, wow, God, what a privilege to know a guy like Eric. But his passion is because he's allowed the Holy Spirit to work in his life. Maybe you're here today and you've lost a bit of passion for Jesus. Maybe it's because you've been a Christian for so long and it's almost become mundane. You know, sometimes you say to people, how are you? And I really do not like this expression, I'm plodding on. I'm plodding on. Have you heard that before? I'm plodding on. Has Christ really saved you and delivered you just to plod on every day as a believer who should be filled with the Spirit of Christ, who ought to be? You know, but sometimes things can happen, can't they? I understand that. Disappointments, heartaches, we can lose the passion for Jesus. Maybe that's you this morning. There will be an opportunity later on for prayer. So just say, God, I realize I've lost some of that passion in my life. Please fill me again with your Spirit, with your power. Power, passion. And finally, this one, personal experience. Say it with me, personal experience, just to check you're still awake. Anyone recognize the logo on the left? I love logos. Do you shout it out? TripAdvisor, fantastic. That means that some of you know what that means because you've actually been on TripAdvisor. The reason why we have TripAdvisor is because if we want to go on holiday somewhere or if we want to go to a specific hotel or a restaurant, the best way to decide where to go is what do? Is we ask somebody, don't we? We ask somebody that's been there because there's something about personal experience, isn't there? That, you know, when you wanted to do something. Just to let you know that I put reviews on TripAdvisor. And I got an email the other day, and it said this, I'm going to read it to you. It says, congratulations, Mike, you have 8,000 readers. How about that? Are you impressed? 8,000 readers. You're in the top 20% contributors in Preston. You're one of the 20% contributors in Preston. And I have badges to prove it as well, but they're online. I've tried cutting them out on the screen, but it doesn't work. Personal experience, though. People are interested. People are interested in your life, aren't they? What's your story? What's your personal experience of Jesus? Your personal experience of the Holy Spirit in your life? We're going to read Ephesians 3:20. This is almost the climax to these verses. As it says, we've got to read this together. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Hallelujah. Immeasurably more. Paul's intercessory prayer for the Ephesians, it turns into this praise for God. He's almost saying, God can do far beyond my wildest dreams. Isn't that wonderful? Beyond my wildest dreams. How many know today that God wants to give you immeasurably more in your life and in my life? We've got to believe it though, haven't we? And this is not for a prosperity gospel. You know, we have the favor of God on our lives. We've been listening to Dave Smith, great communicator from Peterborough, King's Church, Kingsgate Community Church in Peterborough, on the life of Joseph. And at the end of Joseph's kind of in Genesis 50, not at the end, but in Genesis 50, talking about him and his brothers, they say, you know, they say, oh, forgive us, because they think he's going to really get revenge on them. And he says, you know, you meant it for harm, but God meant it for good, for the saving of many lives. And we want immeasurably more because we want more power, passion, and personal experiences with the Holy Spirit for the saving of many lives. Amen. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about those who have not yet turned to Jesus Christ. Immeasurably more, Lord, for the saving of many lives. And it's amazing, isn't it, how that can happen sometimes. We have a work club, and I think you've been praying about a job club here, a CAP club. And we've had it for about 2 years, and I visited it now and again. And a couple of weeks ago, I visited it, and I spoke to this guy, and he remembers me, but I can't really remember him properly. But he said, I met you at our Penwitham Gala, which was last year. He said, I met you there, you and your wife, Jem. We have like a tent with where you can have a brew and stuff. And he said, you were talking to me and my mate for about 40 minutes. And it obviously had an impact on him because he remembered it. But imagine, that was back in May last year, and we're talking almost 12 months now, actually, that he's suddenly at our work club, okay? And he's just talking about his story, and he's not able to work because of a bad back. And I just sensed the Holy Spirit prompt me to ask him and say, has anyone ever prayed for you? He says, oh, yeah. Mark at the work club, he said he'll pray for me. I said, no, but has anyone actually prayed with you while you're there? And he says, no. I said, would you like me to pray for you, for your back, for healing? He says, yeah. So we go into another room and I begin to pray for this guy. But before I do that, I say to him, you know, I sense that God wants more for you in your life and that he has this overwhelming love for you. And he wants you to know him personally, like I know him personally in my life. I said that, and then I prayed over him for healing over his back. I don't know whether he had instant healing because he still had a bit of pain in his back. But what I'm trying to say is that this guy, personal experience, he's interested that you're a Christian. I want to know more. So this guy then, the story's not finished. We're still in the work club. And then he says to me afterwards, what time does your service start at King's Church on a Sunday? I says, 10:30. He says, I'll be there. And you know, I have to admit that there have been times where I've become a bit cynical with that. When people say, I'll be there at church, you get really excited about it and they don't turn up. So I kind of didn't get a bit excited about it. I just thought, okay, that'd be good if I see you there. On Sunday, I'm leading the service. At 10 o'clock, this guy arrives to our church. This is only last week, by the way. And he's just really feeling connected into King's Church right now. Isn't that wonderful? We're praying, obviously, that he will one day come to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. But this is all through personal experiences, isn't it? As we pass on our experience of God in our lives, that we can save many lives through our lives and what God has done for us. Nearly closing. Contrast these two personal experiences of life. Listen to this person. You can have everything in the world and still be the loneliest man. Success has brought me world idolization and millions of pounds, but it's prevented me from having the one thing that we all need, which is a loving, ongoing relationship. The person who said that is a guy called Freddie Mercury, who used to lead the group Queen, who has died. Listen to this one now. Becoming a Christian was the scariest decision I've ever made, and I've experienced some challenging things since being a Christian, but it's the best decision I've ever made in my life. That was somebody at a men's breakfast at Calvary Christian Fellowship when I was giving my testimony there a couple of months ago. Two contrasting life experiences. I wonder what is your life experience? What's your personal experience when we think about the power and the filling of the Holy Spirit? Because Paul says this in closing, the power that is at work is within me. That power is within me, and it's in within you guys too. I'm just going to ask if it's okay, Andrew, to ask the band to come forward. Time of response. Because today we are celebrating Pentecost Sunday. And the great news about that is the Holy Spirit is available to all of us so that we can know his power, have the passion for Jesus, and personal experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit ongoing. My question this morning is this, simply, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Because we need to keep on being filled if we have. And just in a few moments of silence, if you want to be filled this morning, there's a prayer just for us to repeat, which is this. If we can close our eyes, and you know it's sometimes good if you sense that you want that, it's just to open your hands up. And you know, when we open our hands up, it's a sign of surrender, vulnerability to our great God. To say, my hands are empty, but I want you to fill them. As we pray this prayer, Lord, in your heart, just pray this prayer if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, I come to you today. Fill me again today with your Holy Spirit, with streams of living water to bring life to everyone I encounter. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.